I'm going to try to go through part of a chapter, and I say part because I don't think I have time to go through the whole thing. Actually, I know I don't have time. But this has been preached on here before by our own pastor and by Glenn Blanchard. I was 8 when Elder Glenn did that. But it's John chapter 5, and we're going to try to work through not only this first part of the chapter, but perhaps into a little bit more of it. I'm not quite sure how far we'll get. John chapter 5 starts out saying, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem." I struggle reading a verse beginning of the chapter says "after this" without going back and first seeing what the "after this" is. The "after this" was there's a child who's about to die, and the father asked Jesus to heal him, and Christ healed him. That's the shortest version of that I could tell you. But that's what the before part of this is. It says, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem." Now, there's at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, and blind, and halt, and withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. By my math, that's 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" When I'm trying to think of this life that this man has lived, I don't get cheery feelings of a man who for 38 years has been laying on the ground. And I imagine, back in the day, the old times that are talking about here is similar, is at least in some ways similar to what I've seen in Africa. I imagine it would actually be worse in the sense that the people who are incredibly sick and incredibly mangled, incredibly injured, they end up kind of being left to themselves because there just, quite frankly, there aren't enough resources to take care of those people. I doubt I'll ever forget this. When you drive into Dar es Salaam, when you're coming in from the outside of the city, if you'll look on those outside of the buildings where you're coming in and you're coming in from the dusty areas into the city, you'll see a lot of people who are albino black people. They're the castaways. A lot of reason behind that is that in Tanzania, they believe that these messed up, is how they describe them, people are, that you can take their blood and make medicine out of it that will cure malaria. They have lots of witch doctor issues in third world countries. I imagine it's not much different back then with these people who are born messed up. There's just not much to do to take care of them. And this man's been laying there 38 years. And this person comes up to him and says, "Are you going to be healed? Are you going to be healed today?" I don't know whether I would be insulted or whether I would be at such a place of despair in my life where I would just answer, I've been in a state like this so long. Probably not. And he says, "The impotent man answered him and said, 'Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. While I am coming, another steppeth down before me.' And Jesus saith unto him, 'Rise, take up thy bed and walk.' This is exactly what He's done for us. This is exactly what He's done for you and me. We're in a state where we can't get the healing power. We're trying so desperately to save ourselves or for someone else in this world to push us into this water that we don't understand. And Jesus comes along and says, get up and walk. You sinner, you cast down, you who lack understanding, I easily, no matter how long you've been laying here, what mental state and depth of despair you have lived your life in for 38 years, rise and walk. What a beautiful, beautiful message that is. And here's what we tell ourselves next. I was reading through this, and at first I thought of the typical thing that you might hear from a sandwich, you know, the world would say. But then what I ended up hearing is what I tell myself. And immediately the man was, I'll point it out when we get there. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. We tell ourselves so very often, it would be strange perhaps for me to talk about the Lord right now. It would be awkward, it would be uncomfortable. Perhaps if I tell someone about the Lord right now. I mean, I work with these people every single day. If I have some weird Jesus talk with them, it might be different. What if they don't receive it well? And the man who was made whole gives us a beautiful example. Need we forget that the one who made us whole is the same one who told us to walk? Do we remember what walking is in the Bible? When we're walking with the Lord? When we're being with Him? I know we do. This is an incredibly high Bible IQ congregation I'm speaking to. Get up and walk is the command. And all throughout the Bible, walking with the Lord is how you're living your life. Please don't let us be the people who say it would be uncomfortable. I'd rather not. And when perhaps, that's been kind of my word the past few weeks. Sorry, you'll probably hear it like 10 more times, word perhaps. Perhaps people may come along and say, this is weird. Why do you always talk about Jesus? I mean, I love the Lord and all, but give it a rest. And our response is, this man made me whole and has asked me to walk this life, and I will do accordingly. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? That's kind of what we want them to ask. That's exactly what we want them to say. So who made you whole? Who gave you this ability? Why is it that you speak about this? I don't know if they were asking in the right heart, just because I'm always kind of skeptical of the Pharisees when I read. Anyways, verse 13. And he that was healed wist not or knew not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. I immediately was drawn back to a sermon I was listening to. I don't know. I just had finals week. I can't really remember timelines. It was like within the past month. It was a man. It immediately rung this chord because it's a perfect analogy. This man just hasn't walked for 38 years. He hasn't been able to move. And probably the most torturing part of it is he sat by the healing pool every time and watched these people come out whole. And he just sat there, probably looked his head over. I see a tear in his eye. I'm a visual thinker, but I mean, it's a miserable scene for me to think about. And Jesus comes to him and says, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man that I was listening to on, I think it might have been Frank. No, it was, I can't pronounce his name because it's Iranian. But it's Billy Graham's grandson. And he talked about, he said, there was a time in my life where I was not with the Lord. He said, I know it's hard to imagine, you know, the great Billy Graham's grandson was off and righteous living. He said, but I was a horrible person. He said, if I could give up, he said, you know, I used to think, you know, he said, I lost my virginity during this time. So I used to think to myself, if I could give up the ability to see or to speak or to walk, to have that back, to take that away, I would do so. And he said, and then as I got older, I thought, any sin that I could remove just so that I wouldn't have offended my father, if I could give up something physical, something earthly, something of this earthen vessel to erase that sin, I would do so. That immediately struck with me when he said, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. If we would have that amount of gravity when we think of offending our Father, who set us free, who came to us and gave us the walking ability when we couldn't do it ourselves, when all we could do is perhaps see others doing it and say, I don't have a way of doing this. And he told us to walk. And this is his warning to us. Don't fall into sin. You know better now. I've given you the ability to walk. Don't fall into sin. Oh, it'll be much worse if you do. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Oh, Lord, let this next verse be what we say. And Jesus answered them and said, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Let that be our answer. As Christ, with Christ as our example, let it be my God, my Father is working today. My Father is working right now, and so am I. My God is alive today, and He is doing things in the world today. My God is alive. Amen. I'm going to do the same thing because my Father lives within me. And I have no other choice but to live for Him. I have no other ability. I have nothing else within me that can help me do anything else but to say that my Father is alive and He's living today and He's in the world now and I am going to work as well. Because that's what He's commanded me to do. Because He made me whole when I couldn't do it myself. And when He made me whole, He said, my son, walk. And because He's alive today, I'm going to work. Because my Father is working. And how dare I do something else? I'm going to stop there. Because I suppose it does shift gears somewhat after that. I would say that I'm going to finish it sometime, but I never know what I'm going to talk about until like 30 minutes before. Thank you for your time. And I pray that every Christian, and especially those in this church, that our cry would be that my God is alive, and that we remember that our God is here today, and He's everywhere, and that He has asked us to walk. And not to take our old paralyzed body and to lay back down. What a sad thing, what a sad story that would have been if He would have said, arise and walk, and the man stood up and said, I've been laying down so long, I think I'll just keep laying down. Don't let that be us. Let us say to ourselves, there's a Pharisee inside of all of us. Let us say, my Father has made me whole and has commanded me to walk. Mm-hmm. And how great a sin, how much worse it would be for me not to walk. God bless you, is my prayer.